bank runs, the government stepping in to save the country and the economy and the entire system. My gosh, it's kind of feeling like 2008 all over again. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the program. I am Trish Regan. This is the Trish Regan Show. Make sure you subscribe. If you haven't, do that right now. It's so important. Hit the bell as well. Hit the subscribe button. Hit the bell so that you know exactly when I have a program. I am here on YouTube, the Trish Regan channel. I'm over on Rumble, Trish Regan Show. And of course, every single day where you will always find me, no matter what, is on Apple Podcasts, the Trish Regan Show over there. Portions of today's program are brought to you by Legacy Precious Metals. Go to legacypminvestments.com for more. I predicted we would have some challenging times ahead. What we saw at Silicon Valley Bank is just the beginning. We got a lot of challenges here. And while the feds did step in to handle this situation, how many more times can they do it? And you have to ask yourself, is this sort of the Bear Stearns moment before Lehman? Could we actually see the entire system come down? I certainly hope not, and Biden certainly hopes not, but this is happening under his watch. He tried to calm things down. Take a listen.
I want to briefly speak about what's happening in Silicon Valley Bank and Signature Bank. Today, thanks to the quick action of my administration over the past few days, Americans can have confidence that the banking system is safe. Your deposits will be there when you need them. Small businesses across the country, the deposit accounts at these banks can breathe easier knowing they'll be able to pay their workers and pay their bills.
Okay, so that's the good news. Yes, everybody's deposits at all the banks, thanks to this window that the Fed opened up on Sunday night where banks could borrow money from the government if needed, well, everybody's deposits are going to be safe. But that doesn't change the reality that all of these regional banks, any bank with less than $250 billion in deposits, is not subject to the same kind of regulatory environment as the big guys, you know, the JP Morgan Chase's, Wells Fargo's, Bank of America's of the world. And as such, anyone who has money in any one of these smaller banks may be looking to diversify the heck out of there.
Mr. President, what do you know right now about why this happened? And can you assure Americans that there won't be a ripple effect?
Do you expect other banks to fail, Mr. President?
Should all depositors be protected at all banks?
All right, thank you, everybody.
We were not going to get any answers on that. I don't know if he fully understands everything, but hopefully Yellen, hopefully Powell, hopefully they all get it. I think they do. They should have been there earlier. I didn't think we needed to really wait until the 11th hour on Sunday evening, keeping everybody on pins and needles, because there were a lot of really, really worried companies and really worried folks out there. The feds didn't see this one coming earlier. And also a lot of people, like, you know, the guy over on CNBC, they didn't see this one coming at all. They should have. But I have a feeling a few too many were drinking some Kool-Aid thanks to this ESG nonsense that has just been exposed and proven for being a bunch of you-know-what. Anyway, here's Jim Cramer. Watch.
To imbibe. The ninth best performer year-to-date is SVB Financial. Don't yawn. This company's a merchant bank with a deposit base that Wall Street had been mistakenly concerned about. SVB, it's the old Silicon Valley Bank, recently bought one of our favorite research firms, Buffett Nathanson, and it's become less dependent upon private equity and venture capitalist offerings. Wait a second. Those dried up last year. They could come back. Yes, some of them come back here with the stock directly affects an oversold position. Stock was the fourth.
Okay. So I used to work there. I know Jim. He's a nice guy. He gets a lot of this stuff wrong, and I would just caution people to be extraordinarily careful in taking any advice from any of these people that are entertainers more than they are stock pickers. So he was so wrong on that. But you got to wonder, really, was there some kind of pressure to try and help the company? I mean, after all, this company was supposed to be the model of ESG. It had so many green energy companies that it was helping out, and it was very, very focused on diversity. In fact, one of their top risk management people was devoting herself to LGBTQ issues, a mental health blog on the company's website, and really wanted to stress equity and inclusion above anything else, clearly, because there was no diversity to hedge higher interest rates in their portfolio. When there are shareholders involved and when there are depositors involved, you've got to actually put first and foremost the bank front and center. Now, I'm not saying that they made bad loans. This was not 2008, subprime stuff all over again. In fact, they had a lot of treasuries, but they weren't focused enough on reality. If they had been listening to this show, they would have known inflation was coming, and it was coming hard, and that the Fed was going to have to do a whole lot to manage it. I have been warning of that since August of 2020. You can't spend this much money and not have a major hangover effect. Well, what happened? The federal government created this problem by printing so much money, both at the Fed and, of course, by handing so much money out. Joe Biden had his multiple rounds of stimulus. He actually tweeted out over the weekend, just as this whole thing was going down, how his America Cares Act, that's actually what has saved the country and we're all doing well. We're not doing well. Hey, we're in the middle of a major banking crisis, if you haven't noticed, Mr. Joe Biden. Point being that the bank's risk management team was more focused on how are we ESG compliant than they were on actually managing the portfolio to have a diverse base of clients, meaning not everybody's in tech. Maybe you get some manufacturing companies. Maybe you get some services companies. Instead of doing that, she wanted to focus on her mental health blog, and this is now the result. We need to be thinking about what's right for investors, not what's right for all these other reasons. There are plenty of other ways to address all those other things. But, you know, you listen to Larry Fink, who runs BlackRock, which just happens to have nearly the size of U.S. GDP under management. This is like the biggest asset manager in the world. I guarantee you some of your retirement is invested with this guy. And here he is over the years, watch him, talking about how ESG is so great because it's the government dictating the values that a corporation should have. And somehow, to him, that's a good thing. Watch.
Behaviors are going to have to change, and this is one thing we're asking companies. You have to force behaviors, and at BlackRock, we are forcing behaviors.
Markets don't like uncertainty. Markets like actually totalitarian governments where you have a understanding of what's out there, and obviously we're the whole dimension is changing.
Markets like totalitarian governments? I mean, now I've heard it all. Now I've heard maybe Larry Fink likes totalitarian governments when he's the one in charge and he's calling the shots and he gets to decide what's going to go up in price and what's not going to go up in price in the stock market. The ESG stuff, I firmly believe it has seen its day. It has jumped the shark. SVB, Silicon Valley Bank, is proof of that. They took their eye off the ball. As for what's going to happen next, you know, a lot of people have asked me, Trish, is my money safe? And I would say if it's in a regional bank, well, technically, yes, because the Federal Reserve just opened this lending window. And if your regional bank has a problem, they can say, hey, Jerome Powell, I need a loan, but you do run the risk of lots of headaches. And I suspect as a result of all this, we're going to see fewer and fewer regional small banks, which is sad, right? Because I kind of like small banks. It's nice when you go in and they know your name as opposed to the big giant bank where you make a phone call and you get someone in a call center halfway around the world. But if small banks do not have the same requirements regulatory-wise as the big banks, then why are you going to put your money in a small bank if it's only FDIC insured up to $250,000? Now, a lot of high net worth individuals, they'll put it all around. They'll put $250 here, $250 there, $250 over there, knowing that that way it's all FDIC insured. But businesses, that's a whole other thing. Do businesses need to put $250 here, $250 there, $250 there? Especially when in the case of this particular bank, a lot of those businesses were trying to meet a payroll of some $1, $2, $2.5 million. That's a lot of banks that you got to diversify among. So there's got to be some kind of solution here, or we just need to say, you know what, you little guys, you're going to have to play by the same rules as the big guys. The most devastating thing, though, I think of all is just how easily this could have been prevented if our federal government hadn't done what it did. Our federal government caused this inflation. And today, as we watch the market, you have a growing number of people, myself included, saying, you know what? The Fed's not going to be able to do what it wants to do. The Fed wanted to raise rates by a half a point. That's not going to happen. Right now, the Fed fund futures market, that's where they bet on what the Fed is going to do. It's now pricing in a quarter of a point hike, but there are many, including the folks over at Goldman Sachs, that say, you're not going to get that. I mean, how the heck does the Federal Reserve raise rates at a time when you could be looking at multiple bank runs and a challenging, major, possibly systemic crisis? I mean, they can't. And so as a result, all we're going to do is kick the can down the road for another day, for another administration, right? That's what Biden probably wants to do. Hey, just fix it up. We'll put a little Band-Aid on it, and somebody else can worry about this later, which means all of us have to worry about it later, which means all of us are going to continue. You are going to face higher gas prices, higher food prices, higher rents. Inflation will continue moving along because the Fed is not going to be able to do what it needs to do to control this thing because of all these banks that may fall apart. I mean, it's really a bad, bad situation for us to be in. Meanwhile, I've often wondered if there's a method to the madness. It's probably too optimistic of me to actually think this, because it would mean that if there's a method to the madness, someone in government is actually thinking 5, 10, 15, 50, maybe even 100 years down the road. And I don't think that our people are really smart enough or selfless enough to do that. They're all thinking about, how do I get elected? But you wonder sometimes whether the goal is maybe to inflate our way out of debt. Think about it for a second. Who is holding so many U.S. treasuries? China. So if we wanted to get ourselves out of that situation, maybe we could actually cause all this inflation, which would mean China's portfolio of treasuries, which they have to buy to keep their currency pegged to the, you know, somewhere near the dollar, then China would actually see its value get eroded, just like this bank. So Silicon Valley Bank had all these treasuries, and when everybody wanted their money out, they said, oh, I got these treasuries, but, you know, they're not going to come due for 2 years or 10 years. And then they'll, you know, they'll get back their money, right, in 2 years or 10 years. But if somebody needs their money now, that's not going to do them a lot of good. Well, what about China? China kind of needs money right now. It's fighting this thing over in Ukraine. It's challenged because of the economic environment from the rolling lockdowns. All of that is a problem. So you wonder, could you see an SVB type situation over there in China? For more on that, I'm going to be joined by my good friend, Gordon Chang, Newsweek columnist, author, China expert. Before we do, I just want to give a quick look at gold here, because gold has been rallying since Friday, of course. I've spoken to you before about the use of gold as a diversification tool. That's how I use it in my portfolio, only because when things get really bad, hopefully it's there to even out some of that volatility and the fluctuations in the market. So long term, when you consider the fundamentals that we're looking at, which are pretty darn disastrous, long term, it seems to be something that, well, I certainly want in my portfolio. If you are interested in investing in gold or possibly silver, I encourage you to go over to legacypminvestments.com, legacypminvestments.com. One of the very first sponsors of this program, you can call them at 1-866-589-0560, 1-866-589-0560. They also have the online store where you can purchase gold right offline, which is very, very interesting. So you can check that out or get some expert advice or get the free investing guide, legacypminvestments.com. Joining me now for a look at the future of China, economically speaking, in light of all this inflation in America, is Gordon Chang.
Thank you so much, Trish.
I think there's some interesting comparisons that we could be making between what just happened at SVB, Silicon Valley Bank, and actually what could happen to the Chinese. And I say this only because SVB held all those treasury bonds, right? And it's not that they were not worth anything. It's just that, well, when there's a run on the bank or when you need cash, if you're sitting there on a whole bunch of treasuries that don't mature for 10 years at 1.5% interest, when you know, you can get upwards of 4 on a 2-year note and close to 4
on a 10-year note, all of a sudden, SVB found itself having to liquidate its treasury portfolio, and it was doing so and getting quite a haircut on all that debt. Well, think about China for a second. China is, of course, one of the largest holders of U.S. debt. We're issuing new debt all the time at much higher rates, thereby depressing the value of what's already outstanding. I guess where I'm going with this is, are we inflating our way out of debt in a way that could leave China, like an SVB, like a bank, with all this worthless paper if they have a liquidity squeeze?
Yeah, I think it's exactly the same thing because China actually has to sell U.S. Treasury debt. It's in fact selling it. And it's been doing that in part to make sure that the currency maintains its value. It's very close now to the 7 renminbi to 1 U.S. dollar mark. They don't want it to go over again. So they're supporting their currency. But we also know that the Chinese central government is running out of money. And we see this because of all of these protests in the localities that have not been able to meet basic social services and promise benefits for people. So there have been these demonstrations. So Beijing actually has been trying to lighten its load of treasuries. And therefore, like SVB, it's going to take a loss on what it sells.
Yeah, I mean, it's a very interesting thing. A very smart private equity investor said to me years ago, he had a lot of actual work in China, but he said, you know, I think the U.S. is going to inflate its way out of debt. I'm not saying it's intentional. I wish in some ways, Gordon, you know, I wish our government was a little bit more intentional. You but barely muster up a 2 or 4 year plan. But it's interesting when you see what the consequences of all this escalation in rates really will mean. And, you know, we're thinking about it certainly in terms of U.S. businesses. We're thinking about it in terms of mom and pop operations. We're thinking about it in terms of banks, regional banks. But when you think about it in terms of China, if China needs the money, it could be a problem for them. Hey, they say they're going to grow at 5%. I've been joking. I'd take it over the 0.2% we think we're going to get here. But still, 5%, that's not good for China, is it?
No. Matter of fact, last year they had a growth target of around 5.5%. They say they grew 3.0%. But when you start looking at how they were messing around with their inflation deflator, they were probably negative. Now, this year, their growth target is 0.5% less. I think we're going to see maybe some growth this year because they have a COVID bounce. Mm-hmm. But so far, the beginning of this year has not been very good for China. And by the way, Trish, I don't think China has as much in its foreign reserves as it actually says for a number of reasons. And part of the reserves that they have are not liquid assets and should not be counted as reserves. So I think China is not in a good financial position as they say they are.
They recently, at the start of the year, went out and bought a lot of gold. It was an interesting moment because you saw gold really spike in early January, and it was attributed to central banks around the world. And it wasn't just China. There were a lot of central banks that were suddenly increasing their gold holdings. But China, I guess, more than anyone. Why would they be doing that?
I guess a couple reasons. First of all, there's been talk of about a gold-backed currency, which probably won't come to pass, but that's part of it. And also, I think the Chinese people are buying gold because there is a lot of pessimism in China right now. So you see Chinese people, you know, on an individual basis acquiring hard assets.
I want to ask you a little more about that because in recent weeks, we have learned what you and I think were talking about back in January of 2020, which was the Wuhan lab theory. We had certainly, I think, both heard from various sources that it was quite possible that the coronavirus originated in a lab in Wuhan. That theory, that discussion, as you well know, Gordon, was shut down, aggressively shut down. And now it seems Dr. Anthony Fauci may have been at the forefront of helping to shut that discussion down by commissioning a scientific study, which he basically, you know, was able to take a red pen to. Dr. Redfield, head of the CDC, was cut out of conversations because he felt it was possible it may have come from a Wuhan lab. And I think he said the most devastating thing to him was when the Baltimore Sun called him a racist because he suggested it might come from Wuhan. We know what we all went through. Why do you think that was? Why do you think there was such an aggressive attempt to say, no, there's no way it came from the Wuhan Institute of Virology?
My theory is that Dr. Fauci was trying to protect himself. So if we go back to 2014, the Obama administration imposed a moratorium on the federal funding of gain-of-function research in the United States. So what did Fauci do? He outsourced gain-of-function funding to a biological weapons lab in China, the Wuhan Institute of Virology. And he did that through the New York-based Echo Health Alliance. So Echo Health Alliance with NIH money was actually funding gain-of-function on coronaviruses. So I think Fauci is a little bit concerned that the Chinese took what they learned from his funding and they were applying it and eventually ended up creating SARS-CoV-2, the pathogen causing COVID-19. So that is my theory.
It's amazing to me that we actually put money into this particular lab only because there was research out there, Gordon, and you may have seen this footage. It aired in Taiwan from 2019. The Chinese were bragging about how fearless all their scientists were at the Wuhan Institute, and doing so showed all these scientists without the proper safety gear. I'm like, well, what the heck were we doing giving any money to a lab that didn't have the proper safety gear, for goodness sakes?
Yes, and there's a 2018 State Department report on the failure from the Wuhan Institute of Virology to actually adhere to safety protocols. And when China Daily, which is an official paper, tried to show how modern the inside of the Wuhan Institute was, they actually released a photograph showing broken seals on refrigerators, which is a real hint about how this disease started. But, you know, Trish, there are two published scientific papers, one from 2016 and the other from 2017, written by researchers at the Wuhan Institute of Virology, clearly describing gain-of-function research, and they both acknowledge the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, which is the unit of NIH that Dr. Fauci headed. So clearly he has something to hide, and that's the reason why I think he was so relentless in making sure that we did not discuss a lab leak, because that would point fingers back at him.
Sure. Well, Elon Musk and a few others have said, you know what? He needs to be investigated. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. He committed perjury twice, I believe, in 2021 in direct questioning from Senator Rand Paul. And, you know, the only defense that Fauci would have to perjury was that he didn't know what his own institute was funding in China. So it's either a question of gross negligence or a question of perjury. But clearly he needs to be investigated.
I guess what has been so disturbing to me, Gordon, is that over the last 3 years, I feel like we have been no better than China in our attempt to cover up everything and shut down a narrative because someone in the deep state didn't want it out there. We are acting like a totalitarian government that is trying to control every little bit of information. And of course, as we learn more and more from the Twitter files, indeed, you had state in there, you had Treasury, you had Health and Human Services, you had the National Homeland Security, all in Twitter's business, all trying to control things. By the way, Gordon's Twitter handle, you should definitely follow him, is at Gordon G for Gordon Chang. Again, at Gordon G Chang on Twitter. But they were all there trying to shape the information on Twitter. Twitter finally said, okay, we need like one entity. Let's just go with the FBI. Well, the FBI was in there, and that's why we didn't see the Hunter laptop. That's why New York Post got its account banned. Are we increasingly becoming China-like?
Well, all governments are China-like in a sense. And, you know, we saw that from our own government, as you just pointed out. The difference, of course, is that we've got a free press. And sometimes it takes time for the truth to come out. But the truth always comes out, Trish. And that's exactly what's happening right now. Our government just behavior was inexcusable, and actually, I believe, led to greater death in the United States than actually had to be necessary. Mm-hmm. But the point is, we've got a free press. We got your podcast, and the truth is coming out.
Indeed, yeah. I mean, it gets suppressed a little bit, and hey, I'm willing to take it on. All more reason, if anybody's watching this, make sure you subscribe and you hit the bell on YouTube and on Rumble, of course. But I'm willing to, you know, sit here and say it and talk to people like you who are honest brokers and call it like it is. And I know, because you and I, even behind the scenes, had some conversations during the thick of things, and you had some real doubts as to the whole wet market theory, although you were willing to listen, as was I. I mean, I think that's the important thing, being able to listen to all information and to make honest evaluations based on whatever evidence is forthcoming. But you got to be able to see the evidence, and you got to be able to have the conversations.
Yes, absolutely. And that's the reason why democracies eventually get it right. But, you know, our federal government's behavior was awful. You know, talking about the scientific theory of a natural zoonotic transfer, you know, we're now 3-4 years and nobody's been able to document the transmission links from a bat in southern China to an intermediary mammal to a human. And indeed, when you think about it, this disease, according to those who believe a zoonotic transfer was the cause of this, this was southern China. But this disease first manifests itself in central China, in Wuhan. That's really very, very suspicious and very unlikely. Now, there's a lot of other evidence, circumstantial, that points to a lab leak. And also, when you start looking at SARS-CoV-2 itself, they've got some features which some virologists believe are unnatural and do not occur except through splicing. So, you know, you put all this together, we have to have an open mind, but the weight of the evidence right now points to a lab leak. Now, it could be a lab leak of an engineered pathogen, could be a lab leak of a stored pathogen. There's all sorts of things that are still on the table. But Trish, there's one thing that we know 100%. We know 100% that once this disease got out into the Chinese population, that Beijing deliberately spread this beyond its borders. They lied about transmissibility for critical weeks in December 2019 and in January 2020. You mentioned Dr. Redfield. On January 3, 2020, Dr. Redfield, who was then the head of the US CDC, spoke to the head of the Chinese CDC. And the Chinese head of the CDC told Redfield, don't worry, this is not transmissible. Where the Chinese, of course, knew that it was highly contagious. And then one other thing is that when China was locking down its own country, it was pressuring others to take arrivals from China without travel restrictions. And that's how this disease was spread from central China, where it should have never left, to the rest of the world. And that's 6.8 million people outside of China have died from this disease, according to Johns Hopkins. So
why would China do that?
I think they did it because they felt that they've got this. The Chinese communists have this doctrine, comprehensive national power theory, which is a set of metrics that are meant to measure the strength of a country. They borrowed this from the Soviets. Now, they knew that their CNP, as it's called, comprehensive national power, was going to be severely reduced, drastically reduced because of coronavirus. So they felt that the way to even the score was to spread the disease. And so this was malicious, which means that those 6.8 million people we're talking about, including 1,122,000 or so Americans, they've been murdered. This was the result of deliberate policy to spread a fatal disease.
Now, do you think that Fauci's worried that some of the blame will go to the United States because we
Absolutely.
Were the ones providing the funding so that they could do this treacherous work?
Absolutely. And specifically to one Anthony Fauci.
There's one guy.
One guy.
I mean, is he the one guy that signed off on this?
Well, he's the one guy who deliberately decided to avoid the federal government's moratorium on gain-of-function research. Yeah. I mean, Fauci has been on record saying gain-of-function research should continue despite the fact that it is so dangerous.
I read a paper. He said exactly that, Gordon. He wrote a whole paper on it. He's a firm believer in it.
And so I think that he felt that once the federal government imposed the moratorium that, well, this research should continue. So he found a way to do it through Echo Health Alliance and the Wuhan Institute of Virology. And voila, we have COVID-19.
Here we go. All right. Gordon Chang, it is so good to see you at Gordon G. Chang. Follow this man on Twitter. I promise you, you will learn so much. Gordon Chang, thank you for your time today.
Thank you, Trish.
My thanks to Gordon. You know, as we've been talking about, it's a very dicey environment these days. And sometimes I joke that it doesn't feel that different than China because of the suppression of information. We've certainly experienced that on the COVID-19 front and have been for the last 3 years. But now you're starting to see increasingly other avenues where the left is really trying to call all the shots. Tucker Carlson has created a ton of controversy by coming out with those January 6 tapes. The left is furious. I credit Kevin McCarthy because he actually came forward last Friday and said, we're going to make sure everybody gets to see these. So it's not just Fox that is getting the tapes, but every single journalist in America, every individual. So they're working on the security procedures to make sure that can happen.
I believe in the Constitution. I trust the American people. And you should just have the ability to have all the information and let people make their own judgment. The Democrats always go to censorship. You watched what they did with the laptop. You watched what they did with Twitter. And they want to use government as much as they can to censure what people can see and what people can know.
But one of my concerns is that you now have Senator Chuck Schumer demanding that Tucker Carlson be taken off the air.
I urge Fox News to order Carlson to cease propagating the big lie on his network and to level with their viewers about the truth, the truth.
And others as well, people in government saying, okay, this person should not be allowed to say what they're saying. And we are calling on government to take him off. I mean, that kind of crosses a line, do you not think? Regardless of what you think of Tucker, love him, hate him, whatever, the idea that a senator is trying to insist a personality be taken off television because they don't like what's being reported. That, again, smacks of censorship to me. And this is a very slippery slope, as they say. There's been too much censorship in America. Tucker ought to be able to say what he wants to say. We ought to be able to hear it all. And if you don't agree with it, fine. You don't agree. So go over there and listen to somebody else that you do agree with. But part of having a thriving future is being able to debate and discuss and drill down and figure out just exactly what is true. That's critical right now in society. I can tell you, Fluffy always tells the truth. My dog Fluffy, who actually got to do some errands with me earlier this morning. That was exciting. I just kept him in my little bag. He's a tiny little guy. I care so much about this dog. I want to make sure he's so healthy that I feed him Rough Greens. It's a vitamin supplement every single day. Every day, Fluffy gets a little Rough Greens right on top of his food. He loves it. He absolutely loves it. And I love knowing that he loves it and that he's getting all his nutrients, all his digestive enzymes, his probiotics, his vitamins, the things that he needs to be the fluffy and happy dog that he is. It was created by a gentleman by the name of Dr. Dennis Black. Dr. Black is a naturopathic doctor with two big dogs of his own, and he wanted to ensure their health. So now he has a very special offer for friends of the Trish Regan Show. I want you to go to Rough Greens, R-U-F-F, greens.com/Trish, my first name today. Go to roughgreens.com/Trish because you can get a free jumpstart trial bag. All you have to do is pay for shipping. It'll be at your house in just a couple of business days. And you're going to get to see how your dog responds to this. I love knowing that Fluffy is getting all the nutrients he needs. He is such an important part of my life, my family's life. And this makes me feel better. I know. I mean, I can tell. Sometimes I think he can talk, but he can't really. If he could talk, I know he'd tell me, you know what? I feel better
because I have this. So that's the very, very good news there. Anyway, we're going to continue watching these markets. We're not out of the woods yet. We may be just postponing something temporarily. But don't forget, Lehman Brothers actually happened many months after Bear Stearns. They thought they got it all cleared up. When Bear Stearns was absorbed on March 18th, let's see, what's today's date? I mean, it's just a couple days away, right? March 18th, 2008, Bear Stearns was absorbed. And then what do you know? This problem didn't go away. Other things happened. It's called the law of unintended consequences. And we don't fully know what unintended consequences still lurk around the corner. So be cautious, be careful, make sure you have subscribed to this channel, and I'll see you tomorrow.